beat a dead horse here, but that seems to me the issue that nobody wants to talk about when they're doing these debates, except Ron Paul. Ron Paul will talk about the Federal Reserve. He'll talk about why we shouldn't be borrowing money from a private bank letting them charge interest and put us into debt. You know, they now are the holders of the biggest debt that we have right now. But, that's okay, I guess, to charge interest to yourself on someone else's money. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and also with Obamacare, we have Romney Care. I mean, he supports that. But it's okay when it's a Republican doing it. Just like these wars in Libya, it's okay that a Democrat's doing it now.
Yeah, it's insane.
For the left, anyway.
Yeah. It's really not okay.
Right.
But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's crazy. So,
just let's talk about the Libya thing really quickly. It's like it's getting pretty bad there. We support the rebels, okay? So we're trying to get them thrown out of office, replace the guy that we've supported for years and years and years and years. But people aren't reporting in the lamestream media is that these guys are cruel. They're beheading people. These guys are Al-Qaeda. So these guys are the ones we're fighting against in Iraq. And against in Afghanistan, well, against the Taliban in Afghanistan, and now we're fighting with them in Libya. But, I mean, these guys are beheading people. They're using rape. These aren't the good people. So I don't know why we're fighting Gaddafi. He's bad or whatever. But how many dictators are bad in that area?
Yeah, and why are we there in the first place? No congressional approval. Yeah. No approval from the American people. Where is Code Pink and all these other guys that were protesting Bush and going into the war and going to Afghanistan and going to Iran and all these other places? But we're in five countries now with war, and because Obama's doing it, somehow it's good. This whole idea of Republican Democrat thing is starting to turn my stomach.
Yeah, that guy Bill Maher, that leftist moron, he was saying to somebody, how could Bush launch all these tomahawks and, all scared, kind of basically hit him from a distance, but he refuses to acknowledge that we've shot over 100 tomahawks in Libya. You know what I mean? So it's just the left-right paradigm that they're playing both sides, and this shows you exactly what's happening. The right, they seem to tell you the right. No, they're doing the same exact thing. You can see it when you're looking at each other, right? The left looks at the right, and they're like, oh, my God, these guys are just idiots. And then the right looks at the left like, oh, my God, how can you be so dumb?
And they seem to keep following the same policies.
And they do, and they follow the same policies. I argue with Republicans. How can you not like Obama? He's your war president, just like Bush. He's spending, everything just like Bush, foreign policy. But
well, it's a sad note that people have got these lines so divided that they won't look at their own policies of the guys that they're supporting, and because I guess they voted for them, there's no backing down off of that. So but they need to start thinking about it, because we've got a guy in the White House here who doesn't seem to be really too concerned with how the American public feels or how the Congress feels, or he's going to do what he wants to do no matter what. And it's pretty interesting to see this, because he has the same personality traits of some of the leaders in the past that have caused lots of problems. I had an article here I didn't actually talk to you about yet, because we hadn't got there. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get things started, But there was a psychologist an Israeli psychologist, and he had his name is Dr. Sam Vaknin. And I haven't had a chance to do a lot of research on this, but he talks about how this Obama has a narcissistic tendencies, and he goes into how he believes in self-love and all this stuff. And narcissistic tendencies is one thing, but what he's saying is he has a tendency to be even more more narcissistic. He's got psychological narcissism, which is dangerous, because the people that have had this same kind of narcissism in the past have been names like Stalin and Hitler and Mao and Saddam and Kim Jong-il and Charles Manson, David Koresh. I mean, we could go on all sides of the aisle. Uh-huh. And so, because what happens is these guys get so self-absorbed that they're the only ones that are the authority on everything. They don't listen to anything that doesn't further the agenda, their real agenda. And sometimes their real agenda is not what they're professing their agenda is. So it's something to think about here. As and again, I'd like to check this study out some more because I don't want to just throw mud. But it seems pretty interesting that this doctor, who is a psychologist, is saying that this is what Barack Obama is about.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, socialism and fascism. Those are the same track of the same, you know, two tracks of the same train.
Yeah.
They lead into the same spot. I mean, people think of the Nazis, they think conservative, but it wasn't, you know. It's actually hardcore liberalism.
Well, it's always been about bigger government.
It just, exactly. It's central power. That's just, it.
Exactly. Which form do you want to, you know, exactly. if you can call it this, or you can call it socialism or Marxism or fascism.
Yeah, they're methods they use. That's it.
Absolutely. It seems like you always end up in a dictator sooner or later when you go down that road. So.
Yeah, well, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yep. I mean. Yep. So, with that, I'd kind of like to talk about – I got the two things that I wanted to talk about here was I wanted to hit this other headline, and then I wanted to talk about property rights and how that relates into what we're talking about, because it's very important to understand freedom and the relationship to property rights. This is a headline, and this actually comes from Forbes. And the headline is that the emerging new monetarism, gold convertibility to save the euro. Now, this is an article about a professor, Robert Mundell, who urges gold convertibility for the euro, the currency which he actually fathered, which is interesting, as well as for the dollar. He's saying that this is a major step forward because what's happening is these guys are starting to figure out that they have to abandon this old monetarism for this new emerging monetarism, which is quickly taking place whether they like it or not, which is that people are starting to turn to gold. It's the epitome of quality instead of quantity. They're saying that you can't have these dollars you're printing out of thin air. You got to have something that's solid, that you know, can't be debased, can't be created out of thin air or counterfeited.
Counterfeited, exactly.
Yeah. And that's why money has always been gold and silver since the beginning of time. Now, what I find interesting as this goes on, this guy is, you know, he's supposed to be the most distinguished living economist. He's a Nobel, you know, has a laureate, a Nobel Economics laureate. He just has, you know, all of these credentials. And the only one other person that's possibly in his class that has a Nobel Prize is another Nobel Prize winner is Paul Krugman for the New York Times. What's interesting is that I was reading this. The impact of this Mundell's life work is epic. While Krugman's life career, he caps his career as a New York Times blogger. So we've got two guys that are supposed to be the best. One guy ends up as a blogger, you know, and this other guy is in charge of trillions of dollars. And, you know, he's the one that's been in charge of the money, you know, talking about converting the euro, you know, over to a gold standard. And what this came down to is all these debates that we're having with Paul and Romney is the debate should not be whether we're going to a gold standard. The debate should be going to our what gold standard are we going to? And that's kind of where, you know, I wanted to go. So
yeah, and how we're going to transfer to that, you know, to make it easy on everybody, or easier, because we're already past the point of no return to save our dollar.
Yep.
And it's going to be hard. You know, we're going to have to rip that Band-Aid off. But the sooner we do it, the easier it'll be. Every day we wait, it'll be harder and harder.
That's exactly right. That's the whole point, is you have to understand the relationship to the currency, the dollar, and an actual commodity, you know, of something of real value. Otherwise, you just got, you know, central bankers counterfeiting money worldwide and causing this is what's causing this economic disaster that's, you know, starting to become real in the media, even though the numbers have been there for quite some time.
Yeah, I wonder just how people even buy into the whole central banking. How do you give a group of unelected men the power to write or to print money?
Well, you know, early on when they did this, a good book to read on this subject is The Case Against the Fed by Murray Rothbard. And he explains how they manipulated and ran campaigns and tried to pass the Aldrich plan. And once they got it in, you know, under this auspices of you know, what their whole deal was that they were going to prevent inflation. Well, I mean, what a canard that is. They're the only ones that could cause it because mm-hmm. they're the only ones can print money out of thin air. And now their other mandate is to stabilize employment. How's that working out for you out there?
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, we look at the New York Times. They had an article on June 26th. I mean, economy expected to have major slide in months ahead. Goldman Sachs is saying they're preparing for it, you know. And so a lot of firms are letting us know what they think, you know, basically. So,
well, the thing is that it's getting to a point where the media can't cover it up anymore. I mean, we've been in recovery since, what, you know, June of 09? You know, again, how's that working out
Paulson
out there?
Paulson said if we don't pass that first stimulus that we're going to go in flames. And
yeah.
Oh, unemployment
would never go above 8% or whatever. You know, well, you know, the reality is that if we were going by the same numbers that Jimmy Carter went by, we are already at 18% and plus. I think it's even actually more than that. So, you know, these guys have been skewing all the figures. So, let's go into this property rights thing. I had a thing that I was looking at, and I, you know, when we talk about the inalienable rights, okay, you know, and I wanted to make sure that we were all clear on what that was, because it's kind of it comes from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. What a statement. How can you improve upon that? That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The first four drafts was property. And to secure these rights and so on and so forth. So, and we'll go into that a little more here. But I wanted to highlight the difference between unalienable and inalienable. Some of us are getting a little confused on what that is, because what unalienable means is that these are rights that cannot be given away or sold, okay? And so these are things that are not in commerce. They're not public roads. They're not contracts. They're not granted by government, and you can't have a sell or transfer of them. In fact, that's why if we went back down to the document, it said we hold this truth to be self-evident that they're endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. The genius of that most people are missing is that if God gives you your rights, who can take them away?
God.
Yeah, and I don't see God doing that anytime soon.
Nope.
So whether you're religious or not is not even necessarily the issue. It's the issue is where do your rights come from? And that was the beauty of that. So what a lot of us are confusing these things with are inalienable rights. And inalienable rights are capable of being surrendered or transferred without the consent of one who possesses such rights. Now, the typically inalienable rights are government-given rights. And if we go back to that, if government gives you your rights, who can take them away?
Ah.
Yes, aha, the plot thickens.
Yep.
You know, so that's what I wanted to, because some people don't understand why that's important. Now, how does that relate to property? Well, if God gives you the right to own property, who can take that right away? Only God. If government gives you the right to own property, i.e., I can tax you, I can redistribute your property to somebody else, well, those are inalienable rights, not unalienable rights.
Or they can take all the best property in America and make it national forest.
They can do whatever they want.
And now plant GMO foods.
See, that's the whole problem, is that they can do whatever they want. That's what people don't get. They're thinking, because if I'm a beneficiary this time, hey, great deal.
Yeah.
But what if you're not the beneficiary the next time? What if you're the recipient? Or the person, not the recipient, but the person who's the property's getting taken away from.
Right. And that's what the people just don't get. But that's when they wake up also, is when it hits them at home.
Well, what this goes to is the property, if you can't be secure on your property, that means that you can work all your life and never have the ability to accumulate, to transfer to your children or your grandchildren or your grandchildren's children.
Well, if you look at, you know, the Communist Manifesto, one of the planks is no inheritance.
Right.
And so, I mean, those are one of the few ones that we don't have established in America yet.
Well, we don't have it established in you know, written out so everybody can see, but when you go to the tax code and when you go to all the policies they're following and the redistribution, that's what they're doing. And that's what people don't understand. They think that they're getting something for nothing. What they're getting is they're getting a transfer of their rights because they don't have unalienable rights anymore. When government gives them those rights, they have inalienable rights that government can take away. So the question that I would like to pose with that last little bit of conversation is healthcare a right? Can you make a right out of a good or a service? Because if it's a right, okay, where's that right coming from? If government says you have the right to healthcare, where are they getting the service from? Are they getting, does that just healthcare boom, everybody's got it out of thin air and we're all healthy and, you know, it's just something that is a natural right for all of us?
Yeah, and that was another thing. Just, I mean, back when they started this whole healthcare thing, I never knew that we had such a problem with our healthcare. It seemed like it was pretty good.
Well, it was the best in the world because you know, again, I think there were some problems, and the problems were because we didn't have a free market anymore. There was some the insurance and
yeah, the insurance for sure.
Yeah, so there were some problems there, but it was and still is the best healthcare in the world.
Well, like Ron Paul says, when you get the government in a dime, that's when they say just jack up the prices. It's gone the government.
That's why it all comes to property rights, because it's all about redistributing the wealth. If I'm a doctor and I go to school to learn how to do a skill that I can market and make money at by helping other people, and the government comes in and says, no, you can't do that anymore because that's a right to keep the property that you're earning. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to turn you into a slave, basically, because if you have to work for free to provide a right to somebody else because they have a right to it, they don't have to pay for it, that service, they're enslaving the person who's providing the service, and it all goes back to property rights. That's why this whole redistribution of this wealth people don't get, because what the whole thing is happening here is the government is taking everybody's rights bit by bit by bit by bit until nobody has any rights, and guess who's in charge?
The government.
Wow. Once again, the government. And gee, this is all for our own good, right? This is all because these guys up there in the Senate and Congress, they're just such great guys. Yeah. You know, they're doing this all for us, right? It's not about them power or having power or money or, you know, having 70 rounds of golf and, you know, the last, you know, 80 days or 100 days or whatever it is, eating at, you know, restaurants where it's $100 a plate. You know, the last dinner that Obama had in New York was $3,500 a plate. See, what they don't realize is that the haves and the have-nots become much more pronounced when you do start redistributing the wealth, because the haves that become in charge redistribute all of the wealth from the have-nots to themselves.
And the haves don't think much of us have-nots. We are servants to them. We are their slaves. Even one of the Rothschilds, I don't remember the quote exactly, paraphrase, but he said that we were going to learn to love our servitude.
You know, isn't that interesting? You know, but I like to think of myself as a very special have-not.
Oh yeah, the pain in the butt in their butts. Yeah. Have not.
Yeah, we want to be, you know, the have nots who are saying, hey, you know, you guys need to knock it off and leave us alone. We have unalienable rights that can't be taken away from us by you because God gave them to us.
But can they be taken away by laws?
Well, isn't that the interesting part about all of this? Because our rights are vested in God, but they're only defendable by us if we understand what the rights are. And that's why education is the most important thing. If you can't be uneducated and free at the same time. And I think, you know, I'm paraphrasing Jefferson. And that was the real deal, is that you couldn't stay free if you weren't willing to educate yourself enough on the issues, because somebody's going to take advantage of it.
And which is why we needed a free press. Which is why we don't need people like Jeffrey Immelt that owns GM and MSNBC inside the Obama administration and so on and so forth. So there's a nice little quote by Montesquieu. He's from France. He says, there is no greater tyranny than that which is perpetrated under the shield of law and in the name of justice.
I totally agree with that one. I mean, so then let's read this again, and let's read the Declaration of Independence again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. Laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. I mean, that starts to make a lot more sense when you understand where your rights are coming from, who gave them to you, and who's trying to take them away from you.
Yeah, okay, and then we look, here's a CNN contributor, Fared Zachariah. He argues that the Constitution is outdated and its principles should be debated and fixed to confirm with our or to conform with our new modern era.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, what dog does he have in the hunt? See, because who's been trying to take our rights away here? You know, this world government, the UN, All these other people. Do you think they care that the American people own property and have property rights and are secure in their self?
They do care because they don't want us to have it. So that is one of their problems that they are trying to deal with.
I think what they're trying to do is steal our rights.
Exactly. It's a problem to them that we have them, but we do need to fight for them.
And that's absolutely right. In order to fight for our rights, we have to understand the principles around these rights and who's trying to take them and why they're trying to take them. That's why, you know, Lenin said that, the people that were following him, I mean, he called them useful idiots because they didn't understand this thing. They were uneducated, and all they wanted to do was get stuff. Here's Lenin up there. Yeah, you're all going to get farmland, you know. Yeah, you're all going to get more food. Yeah, you're going to, you know, get free health care. And guess what happened at the end of the day?
Yeah, go history, you know, you can learn things from history.
Yeah, absolutely. You can learn from history, or you can have history happen to you and learn while it's happening to you, and that's part of the problem. I think we need to go to a break here, so I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then we'll see you back here in a minute or two. And this is 1460 KCNR, Sovereign Minds Radio, Radio Free America.
Absolutely.
Homeland is coming to the Cascade Theater June 30th and July 1st. America's sweet land of liberty, where its residents dare to dream the dream and to pay the price and share the cost of living in the homeland. Over 130 North State musicians are coming together to perform this heart-stirring patriotic musical. You heard about it last year and you don't want to miss it this year. A portion of this year's ticket sales will benefit the Shasta County Veterans Art Project. Call the Cascade Theater for tickets, 243-8877.
Living in the homeland.
Come and enjoy a great evening of music.
Hi, I'm Frank Galusha, your host for My Outdoor Buddy Radio from 6 to 7 Saturday mornings here at KCNR, 1460 AM. Our show is packed with fishing, hunting, and outdoor news you can use. All brought to you by Coachmaster, Loyal Pet Food, Rolling Hills Casino, Sevillano Lynx, The Belligerent Duck, and Vaughn Sporting Goods. Tune us in for the latest fishing, hunting, and outdoor news at KCNR, 1460 AM, or listen to the show at myoutdoorbuddy.com.
Hello, Reading. This is Kurt Largent of Keller Williams Realty and the Largent Team. I'd like to ask you to listen in every Saturday morning here on KCNR for all of your questions with regards to real estate. Here's the bottom line. Amateur hour is over. The days of putting up a sign and waiting for the offers to roll in are gone. You need a superstar. You deserve an expert. You can't afford to settle with regards to your real estate. So please listen in every Saturday morning here on KCNR 1460, brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Level Pest, Pete Metz at Megastar Mortgage, and Keller Williams Realty.
Listen for the Kurt Largent Show at a new time, now Saturday mornings from 9 till 10.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Do you need more get up and go? Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading for nearly 20 years. Listen to my radio show at 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings. It's called Positively Healthy, the same name as my monthly column in the Record Searchlight. My show is sponsored by East Earth Tradewinds and the Lazy 69 Ranch.
Listen to the wind blow.
Advanced soil stabilization using Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Advanced soil stabilization also installs crushed stone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced soil stabilization is green friendly and eliminates dust.
Listen to the wind blow.
Gave their lives defending this great country. A moment of silence.
Yeah, that's Soldier Boy by Toot Sweet. That's a great song, and we wanted to play that in honor of the fact that we're going to have some veterans on the show next week with us, and Linda Kent is going to be coming in and explaining to us what they're doing for the veterans and the upcoming events with regards to veterans. So we thought that was an appropriate song, and not only that, we liked it. So anyway, with that, moving right along, we're going to just keep going here with Sovereign Minds, KCNR Radio, and keep talking about the current issues of what's going on. Maybe we can talk about the War Powers Act some more. That's always interesting, because the fact is that we've got a president who's ignoring Congress and doesn't want to follow the Constitution, which seems to be the appropriate behavior of the day or of the current administration. They seem to not care whether the Constitution actually exists or not. That's why we've been kind of going over what our rights are and why we have these rights and who conferred them upon us, so that we can understand why it's important to limit the power of the people that are in government. And so with that, we'll just keep moving along on the show here.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're not just, I mean, I can't believe we're not enraged. I can't believe our country's not standing up. I guess it's because we're used to it, possibly, because we haven't declared war legally since World War II. But, I mean, it's not humanitarian. And I don't care what anybody tries to say. I don't care how they try to twist it. It's not humanitarian, because, like I was just talking about before, they are beheading people. They are, I mean, it gets even worse. I don't even really want to, you know, say it on air, because it's bad. These are terrorists, and we're over there. We are empire building. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that we're doing, we're this global caliphate and all that stuff. I don't know what we're doing over there, but we need to get out of there. We need to get our troops back home. We need to start worrying about the United States. We need to start worrying about what's going on here, you know, getting production and products getting back together, getting the economy back together. And you know what you just said kind of keyed me in on a quote I have here. You know, I hate to be Mr. Quote, but
it's spoken the best, you know, by the men in the past.
Well, I think that I think quotes speak to me. They really do. They, when I see a quote and I try to figure out what the person was telling me, it means something. It's not just words. There's something going on there that needs to be conveyed. It's important. This one is good. Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies, there's no constitution, no law, no court that can save it. While it lies there in their hearts, it doesn't need a constitution or law or court to save it. That's from Judge Learned Hand. And what he was saying basically is this constitution has to be in our hearts. We need to be willing to fight for our liberties. We need to understand our liberties, because if we want to stay a free people, we have to know what freedom is. And that's the biggest problem with a lot of the people out there, is that a lot of people don't even know what freedom is about. They don't understand that it's self-reliance. It's depending on yourself. It's creating your own world without the help of government. You don't need government to help you in a free society, because the more freedom that you have, the more you're able to build up your wealth, so that you can take care of yourself and not have someone else take care of you.
Yeah, we just get better things. things. You know, people produce better if they're competing with each other. Whoever has the best is obviously going to be able to sell. And so when you have some of the government just saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, then we're going to no longer have anybody wanting to do better. They're just going to do it just to get it done instead.
Yeah, and it's always about power. Here's another one that I really like, too, and I was just kind of going through here. I wasn't going to do all these quotes, but hey, what the heck, you know? There is danger from all men. The only maxim of a free government ought to be to trust no man living with the power to endanger the public liberty. That's John Adams. Now, if you look at that quote, I mean, here's a guy talking about the dangers of men, and that's why they were going to bind them down with the Constitution, because you can't trust men to take care of you. You know, that's why we are a society of law and not of men. We were supposed to all follow the law. But when the men start twisting the law and taking away our unalienable rights that are gifts from God, all of a sudden we start moving out of a free society into a social controlled society. And gee, standard of living goes down. I mean, this is so predictable, it's ridiculous. And then people are out there wondering why I don't have a job and why I don't have any food and, you know, what's happening to society and the breakdown. And then they try to blame their salvation. The free enterprise is their salvation to a better standard of living, and they're going to try to blame capitalism as the problem when we haven't been following capitalism at all. That's why we're in the problem.
Right, and that's just another misrepresentation by the left. You know, they're talking about corporatism when they're talking about capitalism.
Yep.
And that's just another way they're just keeping us dumbed down, keeping us ignorant.
That's exactly right. And that's what the whole thrust of this show has been, is that if you want to stay ignorant, you're going to never be free. So we have to start getting involved and educating ourselves and understanding these principles. These principles that the Founding Fathers laid down were dynamic principles to keep a moral people free. And that's what we have to start thinking about, is how can we stay moral and free at the same time?
Yeah, this is just a cycle. I mean, this happened throughout the centuries and throughout mankind. That's just in our nature, is once we get the power, the people want to keep the power. Just like Lyndia says, so many men and women have given so much in the past so we can have our freedoms. And that's true. They fought a bloody war against this tyranny that we're facing now. And we're going to just have to relive it, because it's happened before. I mean, the Russians weren't bad people. The Germans weren't bad people.
Right.
They gave the wrong people the power. And then we see what happened. They were just taken advantage of, basically, because people are good hearted by nature, I believe, too.
I agree.
And they want to believe that it's going to be okay and that everything's going to be right. But it's just unfortunately that it's not now. And it's time to look in the mirror and say, there is something really wrong here, and it's going to take drastic measures to change, because these people are ingrained in our society now, and they have almost total power. I mean, if you think about it, they own most major industry. You look at the Bilderberg Group.
Yep.
I mean, that's Defense Department also in there, and all.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them out there. I mean, you got the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. You know, you've got the European Union. You've got the Bilderbergs, trilaterals.
They're all like intertwined, you know, in all the different groups. They're all in each other's groups, you know.
Well, they're all working together for one ends, which is a world government, so that we can all be subject to one group of people, an oligarchy, if you will, that controls everyone and everything. And the way I look at this is that, you know, you think, wow, that just seems so implausible. It's just so impossible that these guys could have this thing going on. And think about this. If you were born into the richest or one of the most wealthy families in the world, like the Rockefellers or whoever, the Rothschilds, let's say a son of one of the bankers of England, and you had everything you could possibly want your whole life, what else could you want besides more power, especially if you're ambitious? Let's say you're ambitious. You have all the money you want. You have anything that your heart's desire, pretty much, but you can't really be happy, you know, because after a while, that money doesn't really mean anything. What means something is the fact that you can control other things. Mm-hmm. And you start to think that you want to control everything and everyone. That's why the old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, yeah, that's kind of the deal.
Yeah, they have the power and the money, like you said, and so they're playing different games. While we're here worrying about our paychecks and worrying about the little things, you know, they don't have to think about that. So they use that, you know, they to think about other things, which is world domination. And they think in countries, and, you know, the things they do affect millions and billions of people.
Absolutely.
You know, because they have billions and trillions of dollars that they can put in here or take out there, you know, that'll just crumble countries in most cases. And that's what they're doing to Greece.
Well, and other countries. That's we're next. I mean, you know, I'm just looking at an article here from Sinclair Hathaway, or it's from KingWorldNews.com. And, you know, with the price of gold and silver getting hit, stocks weakening and the U.S. dollar strengthening, you know, against the euro is what they're talking about. What they're saying is that today was the first crack of confidence. When you've adopted economic thesis, the management of prospective economics, the greatest risk you take is that perspective might turn. In other words, what that translated means is that when you start having no confidence in your government and in your currency, you start, you know, that's a very shaky social thing that's looking to explode. That's what's going on in Greece. When the money is worthless, they can't buy anything at the store. They don't trust their government anymore because they've pretty much sold them out. And now they're trying to implement austerity measures or get them so far in debt that they can never get out of it. And these guys are revolting. I mean, that's why they're rioting, is that they've had enough. They've, you know, all their benefits are gone. If they're government workers, you know, the savings aren't worth anything. And that's why we keep going back to the gold and silver thing, is because the only way to protect yourself in that environment from a financial standpoint is in precious metals, typically, because it will hold its value regardless of what the dollar or the government does.
Right, especially just for now. You know, you will say you will keep conserve your savings. You know, and while we wait for a new money system, you know, or whatever. But
well, like we talked about earlier, they shouldn't be talking about if we're going to a gold standard, it's going to be what kind. Sinclair continues in this article, and he says, if the people lose confidence, it isn't the country that suffers, it's the currency of the country that suffers. The whole thing is put together with mirrors, smoke, and spit. You can't afford to have any kind of financial crisis, or all of the old wounds will open up again and hemorrhage, because the investment that's already been made, you're stuck in a bad investment, the dollar, all currencies are going to oblivion, and that's why the investors are buying gold. I mean, it just makes perfect sense when you understand it. This is one of the principles of being free, is sound money, because it's property rights that can't be manipulated by the government or the bankers. That's why they don't want to talk in any of these debates about sound money, because sound money, then we got to talk about banking and the Federal Reserve, and you know, and then we just want to keep laying that conspiracy tripe out on you so that you think that, you know, anybody who talks about it is kind of nuts. But you know, if you don't do your homework on this thing and study it, how you have no idea what ends up.
Yeah, well, a good way to determine what's going on is look at the higher ups and different countries, what they're doing. India's buying record amounts of gold and silver.
Yep.
This PIM PIMCO, do you know?
Yeah, that's they're the largest bond fund in the world, and that's run by Bill Gross and right. Then El Arian.
And that's now they're talking. They're joining the ranks of the silver market conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, because what's been happening in this manipulation is they've been suppressing the prices of gold and silver because they're the canary in the coal mine, the bellwether against currency confidence in the country. And that's going to be coming off pretty soon. So if you're not on the silver rocket to the top at some point, and you know, and you're sitting there with all your savings in bonds or stocks, or you know, all that paper is going to fall apart here pretty soon, guys. And that's why we're trying to warn you of this impending thing. This is not guessing. I'm an economist. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not guessing at this. It's just now, it's funny how it's starting to come out in the mainstream media that there could still be a problem here. You don't think they've been trying to cover this up? You don't think that somebody has some dog in the hunt as far as maybe covering this financial problem up till elections next year? But it's getting to the point where the Band-Aids are starting to fall off on this and you can't cover it up anymore.
Yeah, just like Obama released a bunch of oil, you know, that's just going to make him look better, but it's really going to hurt us in the long run our reserve oil.
Well, the strategic reserve is, I mean, 30 million barrels is nothing. I mean, we're going to use that up in like 2 days. So that it's just a feel-good Band-Aid fix that the administration keeps throwing out there.
To the useful people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing. Is it's all about the feel good band aid. You know, they're not going to address the real issues, the underlying problems. We're gonna mark my words. We're gonna be going into QE to infinity here pretty soon. Only they're gonna change the names of it. Yeah. They're just gonna be purchasing treasuries behind the scenes and infusing the money because there is a pivotal moment coming up here in 4 days. The 30th of June is QE2's over. Let's just see what happens if they stop printing money or I should say counterfeiting money and handing it into the system here so that, you know, it keeps propping up the government and all their spending and so forth. I think that they're setting us up to watch that thing tank like a, you know, a two-bit turkey, basically. It's just going to go down the tube, you know, and then they're going to rush in and say, we've got to save you.
We're the saviors. We caused the problem, too, but trust me, we know how to fix it.
Yeah, because they're there to keep the monetary system stable and to make sure we have, employment picture stays, you know, steady, maximum employment. How's that working out there, guys? I mean, are we at maximum employment, and how's the value of our dollar? Have you been to the grocery store lately? Exactly. Have you bought anything? You know, I mean, what's a loaf of bread right now?
I mean, the cheapest one you can buy for a couple bucks, but, you know, go up to $4, $5, $6.
Yeah, but sure. But we're not going to count food or energy. What about gas? What's gas at? Man. $4 a gallon now? Yeah. $4.25?
It seemed to lower a little bit, like it's like at $3.80, but, I mean, that's another just way they're going to just gouge us, you know.
Well, it's coming, because if we keep printing this money and we lose confidence in the currency, that's when you start to see the velocity of the currency coming back into the system, and that's when you'll start to see the hyperinflation here. And, you know, and the real deal is that even – let's say that I'm totally screwed up and I'm wrong and I don't know what I'm talking about, nothing – you know, I'm just off base on everything. You know something? Being prepared is smart. Period. I mean, fire, flood, all this things that could happen, earthquake, you know, just having some food on hand and storing some food, you know, is the kind of thing that will save you in those events if they do happen. And it's smart economically, too. It's going to save you money in the long term.
Yeah. Good solutions would be getting your own home garden going. I mean, that would be a really good one. But getting into gold and silver as a savings.
Absolutely. And then, like you say, long term, you know, a garden, you know, I always try to encourage everybody to start out with a go bag, a get out of dodge bag, a good bag, a bug out bag, you know, one of those things where you got 3 days of supplies in. If you have to go fast, you know, you can get out of there. And then the store the food, and then the gold and silver, you know, because sooner or later when we come out of this, the gold and silver are going to hold their value while the dollar tanks. So that's what we're talking
and
about.
And it's going to happen quicker. I mean, just like we were talking about before, Zimbabwe, they ruined their money in less than 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, and I think we're on the upside of that thing exponentially starting to get a little bit more out of control. Yeah. We're right on the edge of the cliff here. So
I mean, like we said, had $1 trillion in debt in 93, and now we're over 14 trillion. In less than 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously,
and then some.
Yeah, now it's obviously the curve's going straight up almost.
Yeah, I wanted to let everybody know, you know, a good website to go check some of this information out is goldsilver.com. Another one is King World News. Forbes.com is some of the places that we've been getting some of these stories. You know, we don't ask you to believe anything we're saying. All we're asking you is to check it out. Do yourself and your family a favor, because how are you going to protect yourself if you just ignore all the warning signs?
Yeah, and also don't just believe the mainstream media. I mean, yeah, you might love Hannity, you might love Keith Olbermann, but check out what they're saying, too. Look at the other side of the story.
Does anybody really love Keith Olbermann?
People do, man. I mean, yeah, unfortunately, but same could be said with Hannity, you know? So, I mean...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess Keith Olbermann's back on, but
yeah, he's. Oh man, I want to wring his neck every time I hear him. And the rest of the MSNBC crew.
I feel like I'm watching a newscaster and who's been trained in Shakespearean theater.
Yeah, just to talk down to me.
Yeah, he doesn't have any clue about what he's talking about, but he sounds like he's in a play. Or
yeah. Well, I'd like to talk about the elections really quick some more.
Sure,
about
go for it.
Romney. I mean, it's just because he's out there in the front, you know, and it's just he's obviously their dog in the fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, we have Al Gore praising him on the climate change.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's pretty bad.
Let's see. Mitt Romney's being endorsed by Al Gore. We don't see a problem here at all, right?
And then, okay, that's one of the neocons' favorite guy. And then Rick Perry. Okay, the day he came out, Governor Perry from Texas, he came out to run. That was the day that Ron Paul won the poll.
Yeah.
And, you know, but nobody want to talk about that. They want to talk about Perry running.
And they keep tossing up these guys out of the, you know, I forget what was the other one, who he was, but there was another one out there. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But, you know, they're tossing these guys up like softballs to see if anybody's going to take a swing at them, you know.
But trying not to let Ron Paul know. But another thing about Perry was he campaigned for Al Gore. He used to be a liberal.
I didn't know that.
And all these Republicans, quote unquote, they love him. And it's just, do you guys know that he campaigned for Al Gore? Or, I mean, you know, probably not.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty bad right there.
Yeah, that just goes to show you, we're getting all of the news that's worth, you know, exactly. Talking or printing, right? Yeah, you can just call Paul Krugman at the New York Times, and and I bet you he knows everything about everything.
Oh, I bet you he does. He just doesn't print it.
Yeah, he just doesn't tell you about it.
Exactly.
So that's funny stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's really true, you know, that we have to get ourselves educated. You have to understand the issues, because if you don't understand the issues, you're going to vote for the wrong guy here. You can't lay back in your easy chair and plug your head in like you're in the Matrix or something and just get the Prolo feed, because these guys are trying to confuse you. They're trying to confuse the issues. They don't want you to understand what's going on. And you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether they're just hardcore Republicans and they're afraid that the left is going to win and we're going to get Obama back in there if we don't stick together. But the real deal is, if we get the same kind of neocon guy that's going to go in there and implement the same policies as Obama, what's the difference?
Well, yeah, you have Bush. I always have to keep repeating it, saying the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper.
Yeah. Absolutely. I look at Bush and Obama as like going to Starbucks, okay? You can either get like a vanilla latte skinny, or you can get like a caramel macchiato double shot grande, you know? And it just depends on, you know, how cranked up you want to get on it, because Bush's policies were the same as Obama's. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that he's doing them worse and faster.
Yeah, he's continuing, but more. I mean, he's expanding, yeah. And that every time I'm either talking to a liberal, I have to, you know, bring up things about Obama. Every time I'm talking to a Republican, I have to bring up things about, you know, their guys. And that's just it. It's the same horse. I mean, it's the same people. I mean, they're just putting up a face for you. And that's why we have the most power in the House of Representatives.
Yep, and we want that to continue. We want to vote out the Senate this next time and get them turn it over.
But we have people like Barbara Boxer still getting elected, and we still have people like what's his name from Nevada?
Senator Reed?
Reed getting reelected. You know, I mean, nobody cares that it's his son that's running the voting polls in Vegas, the biggest county.
Well, what they do too is they bribe their way in. And I think that these liberal areas are going to have to get their nose rubbed in this economics real hard before they start to figure it out.
And we would have way more power if the states voted for the senators again. But now we don't. And now it's way more easily controlled. And I just want to give you a little quote. It says, it's not whose vote that counts. It's who's counting the votes.
Who was that? Boss Tweed in New York?
No, that's Stalin.
Stalin.
So, you know, I mean, that's what they did. They basically took the from us, because the voting right, when they did that, when they took it out of the state's hands and put it in the popular vote hand, popular vote's way easier to control.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, we can either get out there getting involved and do what we need to do, you know. That's why, you know, you've got to go out and get involved, get educated, go to a Tea Party, listen to, you know, Sovereign Minds, We the People, Sovereign Minds, 6 p.m. on Sundays, We the People, 8 to 10 on Sunday mornings. You need to start understanding your rights, and you need to understand your liberties, you know. I mean, if we don't turn this thing around, you're going to be in deep trouble financially more and more and more and more, and there's going to be no comeback from it unless we get these liberties reestablished. So with that, I'm going to give you another quote, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Nate, and you can close it out for us. So, guard with jealousy, attention, the public liberty. Guard with jealous attention, the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are ruined. That's Patrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, and also we know, you know, Thomas Jefferson, the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And all he's saying is that your country is going to get infiltrated, and that's just the nature of man, and it's up to us, the good side of man, nature, to fight it back, to fight it off, just for some time, though.
I almost feel offended because that wasn't politically correct.
Well, on that politically correct note, looks like we're on done with another show, Mark.
All right, very good. It was a great show, Nate. I'm glad we had this opportunity.
Me too, man. Want to thank Chandler and want to thank Shasta County and everybody for tuning in, and just go ahead and get the truth, because it's out there, and don't let it bite you in the butt, you know, it's too late.
All right, have a good night.
We are building up the new world. Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Chiangresso. In Minot, North Dakota, flood-weary residents breathing a little easier than if the swollen Souris River reached its peak and started a slow retreat with no further flood damage in the city. However, officials are warning danger will remain for several days until the high water passes. And residents learned earlier about problems with tap water.
They found out that their water supply had been contaminated, which means they can't wash their hands, brush their teeth, use anything from the tap water without boiling it.
Fox's Alicia Acuna. More than 4,000 homes were damaged as the Souris River streamed over levees the past 2 days. Missouri River floodwaters are creating worries in Nebraska, but the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says utilities running both of Nebraska's nuclear plants appear to be doing a good job keeping those plants safe. The budget standoff continues in Washington.
Arizona Senator Republican John Kyle walked out of budget talks last week, saying raising taxes on a down economy is a non-starter to getting a deal done and to raising the nation's debt limit.
I think the president has to make a decision. Which is more important to him, solving this problem, reducing spending somewhat,